From feature story news in Washington and our bureaus around the world, this is FSN Reports. I'm Kevin McAleese. On today's programme, 295 people feared dead after a Malaysia Airlines plane crashes in eastern Ukraine, as US intelligence say a missile was fired at the jet.
Now we're working to determine whether there were American citizens on board. That is our first priority, and I've directed my national security team to stay in close contact with the Ukrainian government.
And after 9 days of violent conflict, Israel begins its ground incursion into Gaza.
And I can tell you that that invasion has followed several hours of heavy shelling here that we've been seeing and hearing for several hours. And even now there's a really large explosion.
That's coming up on FSN Reports after our latest summary of the day's headlines.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Simon Marks.
The Ukrainian Interior Ministry confirmed that this flight had indeed crashed.
FSN's Jake Rashbass in Moscow earlier today as news broke that a Malaysian Airlines jet, Flight 17, from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur, had crashed in eastern Ukraine. The Ukrainian government says it was shot down by a missile fired by pro-Russian separatists. It's feared all 295 people aboard the plane died. Andriy Kuzmenko is Ukraine's ambassador to Britain.
The world of the 21st century should not live under the law and rules of the medieval age, where the muscles and force could decide everything.
President Obama learnt of the disaster during a phone call with Russian President Vladimir Putin. With the US reaction, FSN's Daniel Wrenches.
Barack Obama says his national security team staying in close contact with the Ukrainian government.
The United States will offer any assistance we can to help determine what happened and why. And as a country, our thoughts and prayers are with all the families of the passengers wherever they call home.
The US has raised concerns about the Russian military buildup close to Ukraine and increased sanctions on Russia. But the US State Department says it won't speculate over the cause of this incident.
Malaysia's Prime Minister Najib Razak has expressed his shock and sorrow over the disaster.
Prime Minister Najib has ordered an immediate investigation into the report that the plane has been hit by a ground-to-air missile.
That's Melissa Goh, Kuala Lumpur correspondent for regional broadcaster Channel News Asia. She says that for Malaysian Airlines, it's the second tragedy in a matter of months, following the disappearance of Flight 370 in the southern Indian Ocean in March.
It was a scene of chaos 4 months ago when anguished families were pouring in to KLIA looking for answers, many hoping that Malaysia Airlines as well as the Malaysian government will be better prepared this round to handle the situation.
Russian President Vladimir Putin is expressing his sorrow over the disaster and has offered assistance to Malaysia. International security analyst Will Geddes says it's likely that many nations have lost citizens in the tragedy.
This particular action just shows the level of volatility and the lack of control that there is in the region. And when it starts involving international airliners traversing and travelling across the region, and this will be enormous in terms of the implications, obviously, to the Russian government and in how the international community will obviously deal with this.
One other headline, Israel is launching a ground offensive in Gaza after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu ordered troops to clear tunnels used by fighters with the militant Palestinian group Hamas. The move is a dramatic escalation of the conflict and comes after attempts to negotiate a ceasefire failed. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN. More now on the day's main story, and as the investigation into the Malaysian Airlines disaster gets underway, officials at Boeing in Seattle say they're standing by to offer assistance. From FSN's bureau in Seattle, Tim Exton reports.
The statement from Boeing, posted on the homepage of their website, is brief and very much a first response while information on the incident is still being gathered. Our thoughts and prayers are with those on board the Malaysia Airlines airplane lost over Ukrainian airspace, as well as their families and loved ones. Tim Exton, Seattle.
Critics of Russia in the United States are warning of serious consequences if it's shown that MH17 was brought down by a missile fired by pro-Russian separatists. The disaster came just 24 hours after the United States implemented fresh sanctions against sectors of the Russian economy, further to punish Moscow for its threats to Ukraine. Republican Senator John McCain spoke to America's MSNBC.
If it is a result of either separatist or Russian actions, mistakenly believing this was a Ukrainian warplane, I think there's going to be hell to pay, and there should be.
One other story making news today. The actress Elaine Stritch has died at the age of 89. She was a legend on Broadway and in London's West End. Her career spanned 7 decades. She was an Emmy and Tony Award winner. She battled alcoholism and diabetes, but she was still performing cabaret in New York at the age of 87. So, a day dominated by the catastrophic loss of Malaysian Airlines Flight 17 leaves many unanswered questions and desperate sorrow among the families and friends of the 295 people aboard the jet. We will bring you continuing coverage here and on our Twitter feed. You can follow us there at Feature Story. And that is the latest Feature Story news. Simon Marks reporting.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Kevin McAleese. Welcome to FSN Reports.
Obviously, the world is watching reports of a downed passenger jet near the Russia-Ukraine border. And it looks like it may be a terrible tragedy. Right now, we're working to determine whether there were American citizens on board. That is our first priority. And I've directed my national security team to stay in close contact with the Ukrainian government.
President Obama, after a Malaysia Airlines jet crashed in eastern Ukraine, thought to have killed all 295 passengers and crew as it flew from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur. US intelligence officials confirmed that a surface-to-air missile was fired at the plane, but were divided over the origin of the strike. Ukraine has accused separatist rebels of bringing down the aircraft, with the country's president branding the crash an act of terror. President Obama had earlier discussed the crash with Russian leader Vladimir Putin. Our Europe correspondent Sandra Gatman spoke to me earlier.
Well, the hard facts are fairly limited at the moment. They're coming in quite slowly from various sources. Of course, Malaysian Airlines putting out their statements, Ukrainian sources theirs, and of course, Russian media trying to get a hold of separatists in East Ukraine for their reactions to this plane being gunned down on what's a very tense border between Ukraine and Russia. What we do know was this Malaysian Airlines had departed Amsterdam in the morning and was due to arrive in Kuala Lumpur. And they lost signal with the aircraft along the Ukrainian border in the Donetsk region, which is, of course, a separatist territory. We know that the plane crashed, and it appears that everyone on board has died. There's some images coming through on social media, videos as well of the wreckage. It's very, very gory, and I wouldn't advise anyone to search them out, but it does appear that sources on the ground in Ukraine have identified this wreck as the MH17 flight.
And of course, these are just allegations that the plane was shot down at the moment, but the Ukrainian Interior Ministry has suggested that separatists were responsible, and it involved some sort of surface-to-air missile. Now, both the Ukrainian government and those pro-Russian forces deny any involvement in the downing of that aircraft.
Of course, the problem is that the area where the plane allegedly crashed is being held by separatists. It's a very militarily tense area. There's been clashes ongoing between pro-Russian rebels who've taken hold of key checkpoints and key cities in East Ukraine, as well as Ukrainian forces who are trying to grow by the day to fight these separatist movements. And at the moment, many facts are riding on one of the separatist websites belonging to key military officers holding the Donetsk region. They have appeared to have claimed that they shot down a plane, which they believe to have been a Ukrainian carrier, from the sky, from a high altitude. And many are trying to put the pieces together and believe that what they thought they may have shot down was in fact this MH17 plane. Of course, none of this has been confirmed, and many experts are trying to find out whether a passenger plane flying at that altitude could be mistaken for a military aircraft. They're also trying to find out whether pro-Russian rebels had the military capacity and had the missiles powerful enough to gun down a plane with surface-to-air missiles. And it appears with the flow of weapons coming from Russia, Russia in an effort by the separatists to take hold of eastern Ukraine, that some more powerful military equipment has made its way into their hands. Of course, everything is speculative at the moment. This is a tense situation. It's a very tense region, and there's going to be a lot of finger pointing in the next hours.
Our Europe correspondent, Sandra Gatzman. And for more reaction to the Malaysia Airlines crash, LBC Radio's Ian Dale spoke to Ukraine's acting ambassador to the UK, Andrei Kuzmenko.
The world of the 21st century should not live under the law and rules of the medieval age, where the muscles and force could decide everything. Ukrainian side urged the aggressors to withdraw the troops, all the terrorists and mercenaries to put down their weapons, and they will have the pardon from the president if they did not commit the crimes. However, I would like to express that Ukrainian party is interested in the transparent and effective investigation of that tragic event at the Ukrainian territory. And according to the presidential decree, the special commission, governmental commission, will be created with the participation of the international specialist to ensure transparent and effective investigation.
What response would you like to see from the American government?
Well, we expect to see the response not just only from the American government, but from all the European countries, from all the world society. Since the aggression in the world of the 21st century is unpermittable, and what the Russians are doing, this is just the undermining of all this system of the international security. And I would like to ask the international community, what else should happen to stop, to halt the aggressor, to impose the effective sanctions against?
Are you calling on the European Union also to impose tougher sanctions? Because, of course, America did do that this morning, but the sanctions that the European Union have imposed are not as tough.
Well, we are very intensively working with our European partners in the European Union. Their sanctions are also imposed. However, we expect they will be enforced and will be adequate to the level of threat the European society, first of all, is facing with.
How do you react to the fact that some of the Russian separatists are accusing the Ukrainian government of bringing down this plane?
Well, this is the usual tactic of the Russian Special Forces and the FSB, former KGB, just to accuse with all the possible bad things the people who are the victims of their activity. I cannot exclude that, let's say, the rocket launcher and the military unit which was operating that, I mean the Russian military unit and the terrorist owned rocket launcher, will be just later on annihilated to show that Russia has nothing to do with that.
Now, you have a relatively new president, Mr. Poroshenko. He's described this as a terrorist act. We have a very new foreign secretary in this country, Philip Hammond. He's attending a meeting of the COBRA committee in number 10 at the moment. Now, we assume that we'll be hearing from him a little bit later. What exactly would you like to hear from the British government?
We would like to hear from the British government comprehensive support of Ukraine at the economical dimension, at the military, and at the military technical dimensions. I think such the support could help us to respond properly for the aggression we are facing with.
Now, of course, one of the dangers in situations like this is that they can escalate out of control. We saw that 100 years ago in 1914, that the rhetoric sometimes is ramped up and people come to regret what they say. Do you think it's important that both sides in this, the Russians and indeed your own government, retain a calmness of language?
Well, I think, first of all, that Ukraine should be strong in this fight. We are defending our land. We are defending the security of our own state and its territorial integrity. And we are, in fact, fighting with the terrorists who are fed and inspired by the state which was the guarantor of our territorial integrity and security. This is shameful.
Now, I don't know whether you've heard what Senator John McCain has said this afternoon, but let me read you a quote and get your reaction to it. He said, if it is as a result of either separatist or Russian actions, mistakenly believing this was a Ukrainian warplane, I think there's going to be hell to pay, and there should be. What kind of hell should be paid here?
Well, first of all, I would say that Mr. McCain is very well known and respectful politician, and probably he knows what did he say, in fact. And as I've told you before, this action should be followed by the prompt reaction in that three dimensions, as I've mentioned. Military, military technical, and economical one.
Because Ukraine is a large country. It's certainly larger than a lot of the other former Soviet satellite states. If I was maybe living in Estonia, Lithuania or Latvia this evening, I think I would be feeling a lot more uncomfortable than I was 24 hours ago.
For sure. The people living in those countries already have a certain level of feeling of their own insecurity, and the proper NATO and allies actions are already on the way to protect those countries. I mean, first of all, the detachment of these additional forces at the territories of those countries. However, the Article 5 of the NATO treaty provides them with such a defense.
LBC's Ian Dale speaking to Ukraine's acting ambassador to the UK, Andrei Kuzmenko. This is FSN Reports. Israel has begun a major ground offensive into Gaza, with power cuts and loud explosions reported. The Israel Defense Force says it's a new phase of Operation Protective Edge, which was launched after fresh rocket attacks from Hamas. This new stage comes after Hamas rocket fire resumed on Wednesday, as did Israeli airstrikes following a five-hour humanitarian truce for the Gaza Strip. Officials in the Palestinian territory reported another three children died following the deaths of four children on a beach the previous day. The number killed in Gaza is now over 230 Palestinians and many more injured in 9 days of violence. Kristen Chick is in Gaza City for the Christian Science Monitor.
Well, the Israeli military has launched a ground invasion into Gaza, according to the prime minister. And I can tell you that that invasion has followed several hours of heavy shelling here that we've been seeing and hearing for several hours. And even now there's a really large explosion. So it appears that this invasion, you know, after they've been preparing the way with the shelling.
So you can actually hear these explosions, this shelling happening where you are now?
Yes, I just heard one very large explosion. But for the past several hours, there's been a pretty steady barrage of what seems to be shelling coming from naval boats out on the water.
And there have been reports of some power cuts as well. Has that affected you?
I still have power where I am, but power is out over much of Gaza City. I look out the window and it's almost completely dark.
And was there any sort of warning of this, aside from that loud explosion that you spoke about?
I am not aware of any warning, although the shelling was so heavy and seemed to be heavier than it had been, which I think made, you know, a lot of people wonder what was about to happen.
And if you can remind us about what actually happened in the build-up to this ground invasion earlier today.
Well, there was a temporary ceasefire today for humanitarian reasons, which lasted for 5 hours. And there were a few very small attacks during the ceasefire period, but nothing major. So for 5 hours today, there was almost no attacks in Gaza, and people went out into the streets. They went to shops. They bought food. They went to the bank. People were incredibly glad to have some time to get out of their houses without worrying about getting bombed.
And Kristen, do we have any update on the tragedy yesterday that involved those four children who were killed in that Israeli airstrike on a beach in Gaza?
Well, as you mentioned, those children were killed yesterday in an airstrike, and actually today, just after the ceasefire period ended, three more children were killed by another Israeli airstrike. They were reportedly playing on their roof, and all three of them were killed by the airstrike. All three of them were from the same family. So there continue to be strikes that kill civilians, including children.
Kristen Chick is in Gaza City for the Christian Science Monitor. And speaking on British radio today, UK Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg had this to say on the deadly conflict.
Regardless of what side you are on this ancient, bloody conflict, no one can feel indifferent to the spectacle of this overcrowded, desperate sliver of land, Gaza, where so many thousands of people are suffering. I will always defend, and I've done it on this programme before, Israel's right to respond and to defend itself in the face of violence that is designed to terrorise Israeli citizens. I've spoken out repeatedly about Israel's very legitimate demands that Hamas and others recognise Israel's right to exist and to exist peacefully within its own borders and providing security to its own citizens. I have to say, though, I really do think now the Israeli response appears to be deliberately disproportionate. It is amounting now to a disproportionate form of collective punishment. It is leading to a humanitarian crisis in Gaza, which is just unacceptable. And I really would now call on the Israeli government to stop. They've proved their point.
Hamas would continue, though,
well,
Deputy Prime Minister.
No, Israel, of course, retains the right to react. But I'm just saying you cannot see the humanitarian suffering in Gaza now without concluding that and the very many numbers of deaths in Gaza, without concluding that there is not much more going to be served in Israel's own interest. And this is a point I keep wanting to make, because every time, of course, any politician speaks out, I can guarantee you I'll get lots of people kind of getting quite understandably quite passionate about this from one side. All I would say is, as someone who is a long-standing defender of Israel's right to defend itself, of Israel's right to defend its values and its own citizens, it is not in the long run in Israel's own interests to see this festering humanitarian crisis get ever worse in Gaza, because all it does, of course, in the long run, is act as a kind of almost as a sort of incubation, if you know, it incubates the next generation of violent extremists who want to do harm to Israel. So
they might Israel, argue, though, that Hamas would just carry on shelling.
Well, if Hamas does that, then of course Israel reserves the right to respond. All I'm saying is today we have the glimmer of hope that a 5-hour humanitarian ceasefire has been entered into by both sides. And my plea today to both sides is please build on that, because further deaths, more violence begetting more violence, is not in anybody's interest, and it's not going to help deliver the only way in which Israelis will be able to live in security and peace in the long run, which is a negotiated two-state peace settlement. It is the only way, and there's just no I know it's very easy as an outsider to pronounce on these things, but I really do think that the level of humanitarian suffering in Gaza now, the number of deaths, and the disproportionate, apparently almost deliberate use of disproportionate response, now needs to come to an end.
UK Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg speaking earlier today on LBC Radio. And finally tonight, the extraordinary story of the Jewish baby and the German photographer who used her image to trick the Nazis. The year was 1935, and Jacob and Pauline Levinson wanted to get a photograph taken of their six-month-old baby daughter, Hessie, in Berlin. That baby is now 80, a chemistry professor by the name of Hessie Taft living in New York. And she told her story to Britain's Daily Telegraph newspaper.
I was born in Berlin. One day my mother decided to have my photograph taken, and they took me to one of the outstanding photographers in Berlin. And they framed the picture and put it on the piano. And one day the cleaning lady came in and said, you know, Frau Levinson, I saw Hessie on the cover of a magazine. She went out to buy the magazine, and sure enough, there I was, six-month-old baby, on the cover of a Nazi magazine. Both my parents were actually horrified about this, and my mother went back to the photographer quickly to say, to ask him what happened. Well, he closed the door, closed the curtains, took her to the back room, and told her the propaganda ministry, which was headed by Goebbels, had authorized a contest. The contest was going to consist of asking the 10 best photographers of Germany, all of Germany, to submit their 10 best pictures. And the photographer said to my mother, and I slipped in your little girl. My mother responded to him. He says, but you know that this is a Jewish child. And he said, yes, I know, but I wanted to allow myself the pleasure of this joke. The irony is that this Nazi committee selected me as a Jewish child as the perfect Aryan. People have asked me, weren't you angry at him and so on when I think about him? And the answer is no, quite the contrary. I am now that I'm in full safety, I can say that I appreciate what he did to expose the folly of the Nazi ideology. And if I could contribute to that just in small way, I was pleased and I was thankful that it all happened.
Hessie Taft recently presented the Yad Vashem Holocaust Memorial in Israel with a copy of the Nazi magazine that features her photograph on the front cover. She told her story there to Britain's Daily Telegraph newspaper. And that's the Thursday edition of FSN Reports. You can tell us what you think of our programme by emailing us, reports@featurestory.com. That's reports@featurestory.com. And you can follow us on Twitter. We're there @FeatureStory. Coming up on Friday, Britain's Guardian newspaper comes face to face with NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden.
You know, I haven't really been scared like I thought I might be. You know, there's always questions of asylum and, you know, where I'm going to stay and how these things work out. But regardless of what happens, if I if I end up in chains in Guantanamo, I can live with that.
Are you happy in Russia, or would you much rather be in Western Europe or back in the States?
You know, I'm much happier here in Russia than I would be facing an unfair trial in which I can't even present a public interest defense to a jury of my peers. We've asked the government again and again to provide for a fair trial, and they've declined. And I feel very fortunate to have received asylum. I've been totally open about the fact that I disapprove of the majority of the recent laws in Russia on internet censorship and surveillance. I think it's entirely inappropriate for any government in any country to insert itself into the regulation of a free press.
That's Friday, but for now, I'm Kevin McAleese in Washington, alongside Simon Marks on the bulletin desk. For everyone, with FSN everywhere, have a great evening. Goodbye.